This episode of the Kona Edge is brought to you by Wheel Science. If you're looking for world-class carbon wheels that are UCI approved, come with a lifetime warranty and shipped free worldwide, then check out Wheel Science. Get all the performance at half the price, and when you use the coupon code KONAEDGE at checkout, you'll get an extra 10% discount. To learn more, head over to thekonaedge.com/wheels to find out more, or click on the link in your podcast player now. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels.
This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. My name is Brad Brown, and we head to Denver in Colorado now to catch up with a returning guest. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Kelly Hua back onto the podcast. Kelly, welcome back.
Hi, Brad. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Kelly, you mentioned in our first chat that you had a bit of a swimming background. Growing up as a youngster, you swam a fair bit, but then you stopped totally for a number of years and only picked it up once again once you got into the sport of triathlon. And you mentioned in that chat as well that a lot of it is technique-based. And once you've got that technique down, that's half the battle won. And you feel like you may have neglected a little bit. Tell me a little bit more about that. Is it a case of your swim's okay, so you focus on the other two?
I feel like I've had more low-hanging fruit in the other sports. And I always assumed that as I got fitter that my swim would improve because I have this swimming background and an okay technique. And that's been a mistake. Over the years, the one piece of my performance that has had zero improvement despite, skyrocketing fitness is actually my swim. And I've really neglected it. I haven't had enough eyes on me in the pool. I've recently seen a couple of videos of me swimming and it's shocking. There's some really bad habits that have crept into my stroke and, just don't quite have, the speed. And it's funny. It's actually becoming a piece that I feel like I need to work on. So I'm taking some steps in that direction at the moment, adding a little bit more swim volume and getting in some master's groups, so swimming well outside my comfort zone and getting people to take video as well, just so that I can have a little bit more awareness of the stuff that I'm messing up. So
isn't that always the case? As soon as you almost feel like you are Michael Phelps in the water, everything's fine until you see a video of yourself swimming. It's mortifying most times.
Yes, it's, all the things that I sort of preach and I talk about and then you see yourself do it and you think, oh, that is terrible. You want to get in the water and just, bang out a swim but really it's like trying to, building swim fitness on top of dodgy technique is such a mistake. It's such a waste of time. You really do need to constantly be working on technique and just really paying attention to, drills and trying to maximize your efficiency in the water.
Kelly, I think you make such a vital point there, talking about just doing volume for the sake of doing volume, but not sorting out the technique. It's almost like having the most rubbish golf swing in the world, but just because you think you're hitting 1,000 golf balls a day, you're going to hit one straight every now and again. If your technique is terrible, you are wasting so much time and energy. It's probably the basic building block that you want to get sorted out.
Right. That's exactly right. It's a building block. And so, by trying to build a swim on top of poor technique, you leave yourself, you're missing out on speed. You're going to come out of the water, having wasted so much energy. You leave yourself susceptible to injury. And you may as well. I mean, it's such an important piece.
Yeah.
And I am the poster child for that because, you know, I've neglected my swim for such a long time. I mean, I get in and I'll, you know, swim, but, I haven't improved in my swim time in the last 4 or 5 years at all. Like it's steady. Whereas if you look at my bike and my run, you know, as my fitness has improved, those numbers have come way down. So, I've got some work to do.
Kelly, I think, again, there's, as you say, I mean, you're coming from a swimming background and you've neglected it in, it's almost a case. I think there's two spectrums here. It's someone who just gets into the sport and is, and you see it all the time at local gyms and that sort of thing, where they're just thrashing and kicking and splashing and not really getting anywhere because their technique's not there. Athletes like that really need help. But it's, I'm in the same boat as you are, where I swam growing up and I almost feel like, you know what? I'm okay. Like my times are all right. They're not great, but getting that help and video analysis can take your swim to the next level. And we almost become, I don't want to say blasé about it, but it's almost the good life stopping you from having a great life. That sort of saying where it's having a good swim, it's not, the fire's not there for it to become a great swim.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Like I've for the longest time I've thought, yeah, okay, my swim's okay. My swim's okay. It's not, I'm not losing races because of my swim, but maybe I am. Maybe that you're right. I have, and it's not an easy fix at this stage. I think that's the thing that's depressing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're coming from absolutely nothing, it's easy to sort out a technique. But when you've been, when you have those bad habits ingrained over years and years of swimming, it is difficult to break. I mean, one of the things that I really struggled with was bilateral breathing. I never learned to breathe on my right side. And it felt like I was trying to, I don't know what I was doing. I just could not get it right. And then all of a sudden the penny dropped. But it's because I'd been swimming that way for so long that I just didn't try. It was like it worked for me. But if there was a swell coming from the left, I was in all sorts of trouble because I could only breathe on the left. And it's little things like that that you don't want to get uncomfortable because your stroke feels comfortable.
Yeah. I think the other piece of it is flexibility and mobility of your, you know, if you've been swimming the same way for a long time, you know, what I know about my stroke at the moment is that, you know, I don't have a good reach out the front. And then, you know, when I kind of check my mobility in my shoulder, it's not great. And I know that, and so when I've been really, really like just recently focusing and trying to, lengthen out my stroke at the front, I'm sore. Like it hurts. It adds an extra element to the workout that I just don't want. So you've really got to be quite motivated to fix it. That starts out of the pool. That's working on shoulder mobility, for sure, and strength. Knowing what's wrong and being able to fix it from that point of view as well.
Well, with 5 weeks to go to your next race, what are you working on right now in the swim?
Exactly what I just mentioned. Okay. So, you know, just recently, saw some video of myself swimming and so I'm working on shoulder mobility. I had a little bit of, impingement, earlier in the year and I had some work done there and that's cleared up and it's fine. My shoulder mobility still needs some work and, I am about to start, you know, building up some volume and, the shoulder mobility piece, is happening at the same time. So, yeah.
Favorite workouts in the water? What do you love doing?
I like, there was a workout actually. So whenever I go back to Australia, I still swim with my Uncle Chris, who was my uncle and my swim coach for many years in high school. He's still swimming and still coaching and, in his early 70s now and, get in the pool with him. And he showed me a really fun one. It's fast 50. So you start off with, you know, a long, easy, say, let's say you start off with 500. So a long, easy 500. And then you put the pool boy up and then you smash out a 50 as hard as you can. And then back into a long, easy 400 pull, and then put the pull boy up, smash out a 50 and try and hit the same split. So you descend down, with the distance, with the pull and then try and hold that pace on the 50. So it's, you're getting in a good bit of volume and a tiny bit of speed work. And I feel like the workout goes nice and quickly.
Brilliant.
I should say I really love doing drills, but, you know, I'd be lying.
That's fabulous. Kelly, as always, great to catch up. I look forward to talking about your bike, but we'll save that for next time.
Awesome. Okay, thanks, Brad.
If you've enjoyed this episode of The Kona Edge, I want to invite you to check out the Coach Parry Training Club. The Coach Parry Training Club is the essential resource for anyone at any stage of their triathlon journey. Whether you're just starting out in the sport and training for your first sprint distance race, or if you've been around the block a few times and are looking to take your Ironman performance to the next level, then the Coach Parry Training Club can help you. Developed by double Olympic and Commonwealth Games triathlon coach Lindsay Parry and myself, the Coach Parry Training Club is the go-to online platform for your training needs. It's like having a coach in your pocket. Get 20% off when you join the Coach Parry Training Club by using the coupon code KONA at checkout. Head over to thekonaedge.com/coach or click on the link in your podcast player now. That's thekonaedge.com/coach.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for The Kona Edge.